Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Can you get high?
I've eaten bad mushrooms. Everything is fuzzy. I can't concentrate.
Sweet West Day.
Where am I?
It's so sick.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. We're on 590 The Fan, KFNS. We're also on InsideSTL.com. We're also on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher. We're also on the TuneIn app. Doug, what you said to me a couple years ago is right. You want to diversify your media platforms to make the content as accessible as possible and as on-demand ready as possible.
I'll take ownership of it. I still don't know what Stitcher is, though. What is Stitcher?
If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, now you know.
That didn't explain it very well. What the hell is Stitcher?
Plow Capital? You don't know.
But we're on it?
Yeah, it's like a
we're on Stitcher now.
Platform.
About damn time.
Guys, I don't know what I would do without you in the morning. Love always, the farm town farm boy.
Hello, Farmzy.
Barrett Jackman going to be with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. That's at 8:30. And then Seth Wickersham on with us at 9 o'clock. Because I was rereading that story that I told you about to take a gander at now a year later. And as it reenters the discussion with the Chargers move and today having Demoff speaking at the Chargers event, the thing that stands out to me throughout it is how much Eric Grubman is a focus. And I don't know why it didn't stay. I knew about it before the vote last year that there was some suspicion on this, but it's amazing how much Seth goes into the suspicion from owners of Grubman not only being on Kroenke's side and advocating for him, but trying to buy the land before Kroenke did, making some owners wondering if he was buying it for Kroenke.
Oh boy! It's
unreal to reread. I don't know why it's like more impactful now. You would think of anything when you're all worked up about it a year ago to be more impactful, but whatever reason, it's fast.
Is Grubman still in that same position?
I believe he is. I think at the time when it was going on, we were hoping that there was some order to the process, that they would follow their bylaws, and that we had a chance, and we weren't completely convinced that some of these guys were just against us, and that the plan was already had been set and was in place. We didn't know that. Now that we do, it's easier to get mad about it.
Well, I mean, even when we interviewed Grubman and he told us
that was
guidelines are just guidelines, the owners can do whatever they want to do, it was right. Pretty clear which direction it was going to head in, at least as I saw it.
But we still held out hope right to the last day. Right until they were voting, we still held out hope.
This will be a fascinating little press conference today. It's not only because it's fascinating, but because they seem to screw it up every time they go out there.
I haven't noticed that at all, Tim.
I don't know if I played any of this from yesterday, but there's a new head coach in San Diego.
Can we hear it again?
Anthony Lynn. Here is his first words to the quote-unquote Los Angeles Chargers fans.
Good afternoon. Folks, I am pumped. I am so proud to be the head coach of the LA Chargers. Oops. But I can't tell you how excited I am, me and my family. I remember the day when Bill Walsh came down in the locker room in 1996, and he grabbed me and he said, "We need to talk." And I said, "Oh, he's about to cut me." That's what I thought.
Class. That'll go well. That'll go very well.
Well, Demoff will get everybody on board today.
And you feel for the Charger fans who got, like we did.
At least.
I would like to talk to somebody from San Diego, Seamaster. I don't know. We've had a couple good guests from San Diego. And I think it's about what you were about to say, I think, Doug, which mm-hmm. is at least
they can drive 2 hours and see their team.
Oh, that's not what I was going to say. Although I would agree with that.
We don't have that choice.
It's 115 miles from Carson to San Diego. Now, if the five is brutal, it's a three-hour drive to go what is essentially St. Louis to Columbia.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I was going to say is, and that's why I'd like to talk to somebody from San Diego. I mean, I can only speak to what people around the country would read about St. Louis, so it may not be fair, but my impression of the situation in San Diego is that Dean Spanos was trying to get something done for 15 years. That was never going on here. At least if it was, the Rams never told that side of the story. So
the Rams didn't want a new stadium.
Exactly. That's what I believe to be the case, which is why Steamer never talked.
Right.
Which is why I don't understand what Demoff was doing still. And I don't know if I ever will.
I believe we could have offered.
Maybe the deposition will answer.
We could have offered and totally funded it through taxpayer money, the same $2 billion stadium that he's going to get in L.A. We could have offered that and they would have said, no, thank you.
Let's be honest with ourselves, okay? San Diego, St. Louis, they mirror each other. They're baseball towns that never could support an NFL team. Right. They're exactly the same.
That's probably true.
Everyone knows San Diego is a baseball town.
I'm so happy to be married to a woman. Oops. Steve Wildwood. Hmm.
There's some confusion over what he's married.
Do you think after each of those town halls, Grubman and his posse just laughed their asses off at what they just went through?
It's
from the Hunchback of Mount Castle.
Yes, I suspect that they do.
They
probably left saying, well, how'd that go? I think we snowed.
When that was going on, I mean, it's tough to ask this question now. We can go into the audio archives. Actually, I'm sure Buck Swope probably has it at his disposal and can text it to me. But when that was going on, I remember thinking to myself, and therefore I would imagine I said it on the air, how it was just so blatantly obvious how sleazy Grubman was. It was just blatantly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and I remember I was listening, the only town hall I didn't attend was the one in St. Louis because I was out in California and I was driving from Carson to San Diego, ironically, and listening to the St. Louis town hall. And I remember, and I was listening to these people, some people getting emotional, pouring their hearts out, and my reaction was, God, I feel badly for them because they think this is real and it doesn't mean a damn thing. And so in their minds, they're trying to do something that means the world to them and perhaps to their children, because for them they have memories of taking their kids to Rams games or watching games with their kids on Sundays, and therefore there's an emotional attachment to it. And so they're trying to convey that to try and save this franchise in the city. And in reality, it doesn't mean a damn thing. And I thought that, and I think it was October of 2016.
We said that on the air. We appreciated the passion, but I remember saying that that was really just a dog and pony show.
It was mirrored in San Diego when I was at that town hall. The Oakland one was more anger. But I mean, you know, obviously it's a different operation. It was great. It was great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not mocking the Oakland thing. It's just different. It's super different. I mean, everybody's dressed up and, you know, you're in Oakland, which, you know, it may be in 20 years, beautiful downtown, but it is, you know, it's a little rough. So it was such a blatant dog and pony show. And it was obvious, but then as you read more about this guy, you're like, God, was that the guy the whole time? Eric Grubman.
The NFL thinks we're complete idiots and that we'll just believe anything that they tell us. They'll put on their $2,000 suits and talk very nicely, and we'll just all believe it. Whatever they say, it must be true.
What Wickersham writes most recently, the article that just came out and why we're having him on, is that there is some internal concern among owners that this might be the beginning of the end. Now, not to say that it will be the end in the next 5 years, but not that the Chargers move is the beginning of the end or that the Rams move is the beginning of the end, but the combination of the two, along with television ratings going down, along with people not being as excited or showing up to games, to show up to games, is an indication of absolute power and absolute dominance over the American sports marketplace is beginning its decline. Bo Jackson saying he wouldn't have played football, you know, all these combination of things that it's not, the seeds have been planted for its decline. It may not impact the current owners, but it may impact the ability for them to sell it or their sons, daughters to sell it.
See, I think the NFL is still a great product. I know the ratings suffered, you know, for the first half of the season. But then you see a game like the Cowboys and Packers. I mean, those kind of matchups aren't going away. But I do think that they have incurred some self-inflicted wounds along the way. And I do think that the fact that less people are, kids are playing football will impact them too. But it's still a great, at its best, it's still a great product.
Yeah. It's just a matter of if it will maintain the popularity over time that it has now. When you lose the St. Louis market and the San Diego market and probably the Oakland market, you've lost 10% of your markets just in the span of a year. You've completely turned them off. Now you've gained Las Vegas for whatever that's worth. And you've put, I guess you could say you've gained Los Angeles, but they don't seem terribly enthused about the product they're getting there.
That could hurt them if they can't expand that footprint of the NFL in Los Angeles, which hasn't been a football market. I mean, if they can succeed in that, then that's a plus for them. But school's out, you know, who knows?
The NFL, no matter what, is going to have a huge Super Bowl. And, of course, the Super Bowl is always huge. But with the four teams in the conference championship games, I guess, what is the matchup that you think has the highest Q rating appeal, so to speak? I think we all would agree on what it would be, but let me make sure.
I'd say probably the Patriots-Steeler game.
No. I'm talking about what a Super Bowl of the four.
Oh, the Packers-Patriots.
Right, exactly. And they've come, I feel like it's the Cardinals and Yankees during the Pujols-Edmonds-Rollins years, where they were so close to playing each other in the World Series so many times. Mm-hmm. 04 being certainly the closest when the Yankees were a win away and then lost four in a row to the Red Sox. But I feel like it's been so close so many times. It hasn't happened. 96, the Cardinals were up 3-1 on the Braves and lost. But the Yankees, of course, wound up winning. But you've come so close, Packers and Patriots, Rodgers and Brady. I feel like it's been, I mean, it has to. Anytime the Packers in the NFC Championship game in the Rodgers era, the Patriots have been there because they've been there the last 6 years. I mean, Rodgers, I guess, has got a couple more years than that under his belt. But the point is, it's been there so many times. I don't know. I feel like when I'm analyzing this game, I'm going, okay, who's going to be healthy? They acknowledged yesterday that Jordy Nelson's highly unlikely to play. There's a chance, but it's highly unlikely. What's the health of Adams, Nelson, and then the other side, Julio Jones? But as we saw this past Sunday in Dallas, Aaron Rodgers didn't have Jordy Nelson, and he was able to turn Jared Cook into his go-to guy. Mm-hmm. So perhaps I'm overstating it. It's not like Matt Ryan shut it down. When Julio Jones was out, Jones missed plenty of time this year. Taylor Gabriel became his go-to guy. The wonderful Aldrick Robinson was catching balls at a pace that nobody even knew he was still in the league, and all of a sudden he's on it.
An indication that it's more about the quarterback than the receiver.
And that's why Drew Bennett was so effective with Kyle Bowler.
Well, neither was terribly effective here.
It's a matter of opinion if you look at the numbers.
Yeah, look at the numbers.
Well, I don't even have to look at the numbers. I remember Drew Bennett didn't do much of anything.
Seamaster notes it was the Packers and Patriots in Super Bowl 31, Favre versus Bledsoe, Parcells' coach. That's true, but I'm talking about the Brady Rodgers version.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that's what I want to see. I feel like the Falcons, for as good as they are, I don't feel like they have the
cachet.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like we were having tantric sex right there.
No, I was just thinking of a word that we were searching for.
Thank you for acknowledging that that's what it was.
It wasn't.
Iggy, I don't know how you feel about this, because you are a Lady Gaga correspondent for this Super Bowl, whether it's the Falcons and Patriots, Falcons and Steelers, Packers and Patriots, Packers and Steelers. I'm sure your attention will be at halftime with Lady Gaga.
Of course.
The NFL denies it gave Lady Gaga instructions to avoid political commentary during her upcoming Super Bowl halftime show. Natalie Ravitz, do you know her?
Ravitz? Ravzi.
Okay, so you do. Yeah. It's false. Senior Vice President of Communications for the NFL, told CNN this is unsourced nonsense from people trying to stir up controversy where there is none.
Oh, I guess we should believe it. If it's coming from the NFL office, it must be true.
The Super Bowl is a time when people really come together. Lady Gaga is focused on putting together an amazing show for fans, and we love working with her on it. We aren't going to be distracted by this. Iggy, what are your thoughts?
She won't mention Trump because she knows that this is something special. It's not the proper time. She's not like...
Would you be disappointed in her as a Lady Gaga fan if she did?
No. But she's not Meryl Streep. She doesn't use these situations where she knows there's millions of people watching. She has a job to do. She's going to do it well. But I would say probably 99% that the NFL told her, please don't bring up Trump, just like they told her, please don't lose any clothes.
I wouldn't think it'd be very good business for them either. When they come out and slam him, they're losing half of their audience, probably.
Well, she knows.
I mean, half of them may go, yes, and the other half are going to go, okay, that's the end of her for me.
Look, she's an entertainer, and she speaks her mind. I mean, she's already done it on Twitter, and she speaks her mind, but she knows this isn't the platform.
Now, Doug, isn't this where you're supposed to ask if she'll wear a certain outfit?
What sort of meat will she have on her dress? Pork butt?
Bologna.
She wears meat on all of her dresses, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, Doug, yes.
Boy, I remember that meat dress she wore that one time.
I'm sure you do, just like 99% of the people that don't know anything about her.
Yeah.
You love, why are you trying to stir the pot?
You love Gaga. I mean, you love her.
I love her as a person, yes. I love what she stands for.
What does she stand for?
Well, she stands for equality. She stands for treating people nicely and not bullying, and she's just a very down-to-earth, caring person.
Do you think she's had... here's something I was wondering. Do you think she's had a lot of plastic surgery over the last few years? Because when she first came out...
She's had none.
Really? Is that right?
None.
And I'm not asking...
I know a lot of people think that.
I'm asking because when she first came out, she was so talented musically that they couldn't deny her ability to be a successful artist, whereas in, you know, recent time, and I'm recent being, you know, couple of decades at least, usually those who thrive in the music industry also have a very attractive appearance. And so what it seemed like either she was doing or she was advised to do was to cover up her face. And now she is out there performing without any of that stuff anymore. And she looks beautiful to me.
She just evolves. I mean, if you look
But facially, she looks different to me from the few times in like 2007, 8, 9, and when like she was covering up her face, and I felt like, you know,
Christopher Cross sailing. Like it's beautiful.
Think of Laura.
Right. Beautiful water-based music, and they didn't put him on the album.
Christopher Cross plow.
Because he looked like a serial killer. So you know what they did? They just didn't put him on the, because they thought, I would suspect, that it would spoil
the
illusion.
That's a good... Right. Extreme but good comparison. And you say for real she hasn't. I mean, if she did, she did.
She
hell, if I could get hair transplants, I'd get them right now.
She never had to wear a bag over her head or anything. Did she?
No, she wore like a lot of masks.
Well,
she was
in that period where, she's never said this, but I really believe she was a Dale Bozzio fan.
Dale Brown coached with LSU.
Chris Bozzio was a good pitcher with the Brewers.
Pull up Dale Bozzio missing persons, and you will see what she used to do to her
face. What? Doug, pull it up.
I have a computer.
Well, she used to like use different pink and blue paint under her eyes and her cheeks, and that's what Gaga did.
Listen to Chris Cross just for a minute, because I think
he's Christopher.
He'll take us away.
What are you? What is that? Is that a xylophone? Or is that a harpsichord? Harp?
Xylophone.
What was it then, bro?
We got the. Got snagged by the long musical intro.
Yeah, but I like it.
Well, it's not
right there.
Down to paradise. At least it's not for me.
And he looked a lot like Meatloaf.
He looked like he killed six or seven people in a restroom at a bus stop.
Yeah, he didn't look like this voice would be coming out of that body.
Canvas can do miracles. That's the sale, Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Sale is made of canvas.
I think of Laura better right after she got raped.
Excuse me?
General Hospital. Think of Laura. He wrote that for Luke and Laura.
Really? Really?
Yes. That's what the song was about.
It was about a soap opera?
I think he wrote it for that.
No, this is a song about how he...
Not this song. Think of Laura I'm talking about.
I don't
know. I'm done with this song. It's already been playing for a minute.
Pull up Think of Laura, Christopher.
I remember that song.
Wait, I remember
and it
that
was about,
show.
It was about a plot development in General Hospital?
Well, Luke and Laura, yeah.
Did anybody write anything for Roman, Brady, and Marlena? Because if so, she was possessed by the devil, and it'd be a fascinating little tune.
That Marlena was quite a dish. Va, 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 voom.
Deidre Hall.
Though. Yes.
My grandmother used to say, Mike... I gotta watch my stories. She called them stories.
I was a big GH fan.
And this is about a development in General Hospital.
I think so, between Luke and Laura.
Doug, is that true?
I believe so.
A bluff.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen.
Every once in a while,
that's when Luke left and Laura was thinking about it. She missed Luke.
Where played Luke?
Anthony Geary, I believe.
Will Gear's son.
And Jeannie Francis played...
what do you think his net worth is?
$5 million.
But I was at an after party with Jeannie Francis, and they kicked me out before they all got naked.
Or was this down on the landing?
What? What are you talking
about? Some hotel.
They just picked you out of the crowd and said, you, we're about to get naked. No, you gotta go.
They had an after party at the pool, and I somehow got in there, and some of the girls started taking their clothes off, and Jeannie Francis came out in a swimsuit, and they kicked me out. They said, who was that guy?
$9 million, Anthony Geary.
No. Will Gear's son, Doug. Probably inherited a lot.
Now, Will Gear had some stories. This was a hit for a while.
And he bought them for John Boy?
I don't know about that.
See, but the whole point is Christopher Cross has this beautiful voice, and he didn't have the appearance to match.
He didn't, no.
Right. And then they told Lady Gaga, hey, why don't you cover up the grill in the early going until you establish yourself?
So she was even attractive back then. She just went through that phase where she wore paint on her face. She...
Like Adam Ant.
Different things. Now you
Adam
notice.
Ant, strip.
Now you notice she's
Paul, I'll pull up Adam Ant's strip.
Now, I saw a video years ago where Lady Gaga, before she was famous, she was a victim in one of these TV shows where you try to fool somebody at a store and see how soon before they blow up. And
she was in a coffee shop.
Right, that was it. And she couldn't have been nicer. And she was attractive. And she must have been 20 or something.
He wore some paint on his face, too.
That's why we're playing him.
Adam Ant.
That's why I just said that.
I wasn't paying attention.
He was talking about the song about General Hospital.
Right. Which was a hit. Like this,
why is he talking?
Because he can't sing.
How dare you?
You know, Gaga.
What Adam Ant's net worth is. What do you think?
$5 million. Forgot about it.
$20 million.
Gaga was also in an episode of Sopranos.
Was she on?
She wasn't credited. She sat in the classroom. She sat in the...
$5 million?
She sat in the classroom with Jamie Lynn Sigler.
You know that, Doug?
I did not know that.
And you love Jamie Lynn Sigler. Who did?
Yeah, that had to be like your scene. That had to be your go-to.
If you had a chance to be with one woman, Jamie Lynn Sigler or Lady Gaga,
wow, that's a great question. Or what about Wifey, who you ranked as number 29 in your top 30 adult
films? Who's Wifey?
I didn't know until Iggy ranked her on the fan page as the number 29 all-time adult film star. Doug, her name is Wifey.
Yeah, I don't know about her.
Oh, she is. She's something else.
So does Lady Gaga ever get married?
No.
She was engaged, right?
Yeah, she. They broke off the engagement with...
Who was that, Sebastian Janikowski?
Taylor. What's his last name?
The Kicker?
No, he's on Chicago Fire. Taylor something or other.
But Lady Gaga had a fling with Sebastian Janikowski?
Yeah, he's got a long leg.
Yeah, Ray Guy, too.
Ray Guy could be your father.
No.
Tim wasn't alive, but Luke and Laura was huge.
It was a big song.
So, like, I could watch Days of Our Lives and write a little song today, and it could become a huge hit?
If it's a good song, yeah.
What about Deirdre Hall's net worth?
Now, the one I couldn't believe is when Luke raped Laura.
What?
Then they end up getting married. But the movie, or the song, Herb Alpert, I think it was called Stay.
Doug, do you remember Herb Alpert? Stay.
That was,
how could you please pull up?
I remember Herb Alpert, of course.
Stay.
That's the song that was playing in the disco when he was raping her.
What?
And then they got married.
$12 million for Deirdre Hall. Good for you.
And she hasn't changed. Her look hasn't changed in 30 years.
She's still on that show, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't Stamos on that show for a while, too? Or was that a different one?
That's Full House.
No, he was on the soap operas for a while.
Doug was at General Hospital.
I don't know.
It was one of the stories. I got to watch my stories.
There's not many of them still on. Is there just one still on?
Because it was
General Hospital's still on.
That's about the only one, I think.
Days of Our Lives is still on.
Oh yeah, I guess Young and the Restless is. But
is Santa Barbara still on? Because I think Jack Wagner's still
on
that
one.
I saw Jack Wagner playing in Mark Mulder's group this weekend at the Diamond Resorts Invitational.
Yeah,
he's a good stick.
What? Don't say he's a good stick. Don't say that.
Talking about this Justin Thomas.
No, he's a good stick. Yeah, yeah, I like this kid.
Yeah. That Herb Alpert song isn't even around anymore.
I guess we couldn't find it, Plow Capital.
That song does not exist on YouTube.
Mm. I guess we're done talking about Hope being buried alive by Stefano. Thanks. The cousin of Moo Man writing it.
Jack Wagner is, this is interesting. He's worth $9.8 million.
Ooh, specific.
Huh? $9.8 million.
And who would have that information other than his broker?
Look, there's whoever does these things, they got a guy like Seymour who checked on it. Thank you, Sea Monster.
All right.
That was a lot of storylines in GH. Well, you had Rick Springfield
Don't
in there.
Don't say GH. We got time.
Rick Springfield was the doctor, hunk. And then he left and they brought in Jack Wagner as Frisco Jones. He became the musical guy.
That sounds like a Tracy Morgan character on Saturday Night Live.
What was your favorite Rick Springfield song? A lot of people say Jesse's Girl, but I like Human Touch. Am I wrong, Doug?
I don't know what you like.
I go, You Better Love Somebody. Plow, Capital Keep Up, You Better Love Somebody.
Can you do a poll? Can someone do a poll and say, what is the most favorite Rick
Springfield? I like Don't Talk to Strangers myself.
Not bad. He had a lot of hits.
Mount Rushmore.
I saw him at a foundation. I think there was a liver foundation.
Were you invited to go back to his place naked?
No, but he had a meet and greet where he charged people.
Doug, you're a good stick. That comes from Jimmy Shoulder Hair.
Barrett Jackman, by the way, loves Rick Springfield. So this is sort of an homage to
Jack. Is this his intro music?
Loves him.
He was at River City maybe 6-7 months ago.
Who, Jackman? Probably didn't want people to know that.
No,
Rick Springfield.
Jax might have been in the audience, but it was Rick Springfield.
Doug, did you go see Springfield?
I didn't. Hold on, Barrett. Just want to hear Rick real quick. A little thing.
He was the king of the three chords.
All right, that's good. We have a guest.
Well, you're the one who wanted me to hold. Ladies and gentlemen, the Blues last night taking on the Ottawa Senators after two great games in California. But last night, with an opportunity to take a lead, game tied at 3, they fell behind 6-3 and couldn't make the comeback and lose by a final of 6-4. Joining us to get his perspective, former Blues defenseman Barrett Jackman. Good morning, Barrett.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Sorry about the Rick Springfield thing. That was the Cats. Oh,
that's right. That was the big fan.
Are you right?
Yeah,
so you're right on that.
Of course. All right.
Then I withdraw my critique. Hey, I know you experienced this throughout your career. This is odd that the Blues haven't really been able to, especially in a year where we've seen all these huge winning streaks, whether it be their opponent tomorrow night, the Capitals, the Blue Jackets, the Wild. The Blues just really haven't been able to put together a long streak for a while now. Two games was the longest in a good long while. Leading into last night. And so, therefore, the whole thing there, we have consistency, consistency, consistency. You play two really good games against two tough teams and two tough buildings, and then you come home, and it's not that Ottawa's a bad team. It's just you're thinking, okay, they're going to be able to carry that momentum, and unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. But when you analyze it, what do you see is causing that for this team at this point in the season, Barrett?
I think there's some immaturity with some plays. Yeah, you look at the turnovers last night, cost the Blues the game. They couldn't get through the neutral zone because it's just kind of bad decisions. And, I'll give Ottawa credit. They're pretty good. Kind of limiting what you have, when you're skating through the neutral zone. But, yeah, I think the Blues made a couple, mistakes from their own end. And we're relying on Hutz a little bit too much to make those big saves. And, when you're giving up so many quality chances right in front of the net, eventually a team's going to score. And last night, I think it was a third goal that the ref should have blown the whistle, but the boys should have responded a little bit better and been able to close it out. But it's just been little mistakes at the wrong time all year that have not let them get on any kind of a roll.
How much of a fact do you think it is that they, lost some veterans last year with Backes and Brouwer moving on, and the Blues, in a way, kind of had to find a new identity?
Yeah, you take away some big bodies like that, you kind of build on speed and kind of rely on a lot of those young guys to step in and fill some big shoes. So there's going to be some growing pains with that, and But you know, the boys have to if they want to make the playoffs, everybody's going to come together. Especially this time of year, it's real tough to get 2 points every night. But those young guys really have to step up, mature really quickly, and start becoming leaders instead of looking for somebody to follow all the time.
It seems they have a bit of a goaltending issue. How do you think that will play itself out going forward? Do they go back to Allen now, or Ryan Hutton here for a while?
He's played well. Jake's struggled. He's let some early goals in. The whole team's let the early goals in the last 10 games. So I think no matter who's in net, you got to be sharp for the first 5-10 minutes. And when your goaltending is, kind of lacking confidence, you have to, make sure that those first few shots are from the outside, let the goalies feel it, and not give up, a grade A scoring chance right off the bat. And Jake's a competitor. He's a guy that really cares about the team, and he's going to correct things. He's on a slide right now, and it's a tough transition for him too. Kind of going from 1A, 1B with Elliot, and getting a contract and being that go-to guy every night. There's a lot of pressure on him, so I think he's going to find his way and be a solid goaltender down the stretch.
Barrett, I don't think I've ever been around a player in any sport that played through more injuries than you, and I'm talking about things where you didn't tell anyone you were hurt and your shoulders were about to fall out of their sockets unless you got taped up. So you've had a little time away from the game now. Are you healing up, or are you still dealing with things?
Still dealing with it every day. Getting out of bed, I'm getting a little older now. So, the body, change of weather and all that. I got a few spots with arthritis in the body and a couple torn labrums that will need to be repaired eventually, but don't want to mess up the golf game right now and wait till next year and get some things fixed.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize maybe that hockey players, a lot of them, I know that football players probably deal with their injuries their whole life, but I think a lot of people probably don't realize that as a hockey player you got the same things going on.
Yeah, we're in a lot of collisions, and guys take a lot of pride about not really talking about the injuries and playing through it. In any sport, you're maybe besides the baseball and the hangnails, I think everybody's worried about somebody taking your job and the next next best thing coming up putting you on the sidelines. So you usually go out there, you play as hard as you can with whatever you have and never complain. And that's just the mentality of hockey players. And if you can get out there with a little tape and some pain meds or ibuprofen, then you battle through it. Maybe we're just not smart enough to realize what's going to happen down the road.
Yeah, but you say a little tape. I saw times after a game where you look like a mummy. I mean, you were taped up from ankle to shoulder. You say that players take pride in not even mentioning the injuries. But there were times as a player you took some heat when I knew you weren't 100%, you weren't 70%, you might not have been 50%, yet you didn't say anything about it, you didn't make excuses, you just went out and tried to do the best you could.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. You just go and you play. Lots of guys rely on your leadership, and sometimes the rest of the team get a little boost if they see how hard you're going to play with an injury. So that's what I try to do: just go out there and battle every night, whether it's broken bones or torn muscles or what you have it. Yeah, you go out, you battle, and some other guys maybe, put their injuries out of their mind and keep playing, too.
What do you see yourself doing here down the road now? I know you could retire, but you're too young to sit around the rest of your life. Would you like to coach or be a front office guy or what?
Well, the wife wants me out of the house, so I've been around a little bit too much the last few months. But I've talked to, Army about kind of getting back into it. Yeah, I think the coaches put in a lot of long, hard hours, and at this point, I don't, I think I want to enjoy my family and not have that full-time of a job. But I talked about some different things with Army, about maybe player development and that. So I'm exploring it, and you know, hopefully be back in the game very soon.
I think your former teammate Cam Jansen, now doing afternoon drive with us, has turned into a regular Bob Costas, so maybe mm-hmm. that's the move.
Yeah, I can't talk as much as that guy. He's,
yeah. Hold on, let me give you a bell ring for that.
We'll use that for a promo for their show.
He can fill 3 hours with just animated stories, and I'm surprised he's not on TV with how much he bobs his head and moves his hands when he talks.
So, oh, he could be an anchorman.
Yeah, he does a great job, and he's got a personality to fill and entertain. So he's, I'm happy for him.
Hey, Barry, big night coming up. And it's been really cool to see the appreciation really over the last year for Bobby Plager. You're the last guy I'll ever wear that number 5. And the Blues are having an event for him. It's called Heritage Night, an evening with Bobby Plager, patios on Wednesday, February 1st, featuring a roundtable discussion with Chris Kerber and Red Berenson. Tickets are $25 and go on sale at noon on Thursday. So tomorrow it's stlouisblues.com/Bobby. And the next night, the Blues will retire Plager's number 5 when they host the Leafs. Doors to the Scott Trade Center open up at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, February 2nd. And I've read and heard your comments on your appreciation for him. But it's cool when you see, you know, oftentimes, especially, you know, the natural comparison around here is anytime you go, okay, Blues heritage, then you go Cardinals. But, you know, when it comes to some of these guys like Gibson and Brock, who were around 50 years ago, they've been a part of it and up there for years and years and years. And I think there's been an appreciation throughout those 50 years where now I feel like Plager, with the 50th anniversary of the franchise, is getting perhaps his just due for how much he meant to the franchise and also how much he means to guys from the current era, such as yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope they've been waiting for this just because it was 50 and they wanted to make it as big a celebration as they could. But Bobby is such an amazing person, coming in original Blue and still being around the organization as much as he is. There's not an event or a charity drive or a meet and greet or even just a coffee shop that you see Bobby, holding court and telling his stories. It's amazing when there's kids that are 5 years old, know who Bobby Plager is because their parents or grandparents have told stories about him. There's not many people that have that type of a presence, in an organization. Stan Musial and Lou Brock, guys like that, kind of have it with the Cardinals. But Bobby Plager, you know, he's taught me so much, and he's around every day. And when you get to kind of see what he's all about and get to know him, there's not a person that cares about the Blues and the NHL more than Bobby Plager.
You know, the folks that live in St. Louis, made their home here, like yourself, know what kind of hockey town St. Louis is. But the success of the Winter Classic, the alumni game, over 40,000 there, did that exceed your expectations at all?
Yeah, I think it did. You definitely the fans were going to come out, but just to have the Cardinals partnership with that and what a great job the Busch Stadium and all the events around it with the concerts outside. And when we were driving over for the alumni game at about 10:30, it was just a sea of people in Ballpark Village. You're probably 15,000-20,000 people already there at 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And it's just to hear people talk about the alumni game too, just to come out and have 42,000 people for a bunch of guys almost skating backwards with how slow we were. But mm-hmm. It was so much fun for me too. I felt like a rookie again, sitting in the locker room with guys like Dallas Drake and Pierre Turgeon and Al and Prongs and then Garth Butcher, some of the older guys that I've heard so much about and got to meet over the years, and and you know, having Bobby as a coach, it made it you know, pretty special for me to, you know, that they threw an alumni game for me in my retirement.
That's right. Give us an honest evaluation of how St. Louis stacks up as a hockey town. I know we're not as passionate as Toronto and Montreal and the Canadian cities, but how would we rank among the other U.S. cities for hockey passion in St. Louis?
Oh, it's huge. You know, I think you get those, you know, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal. I think, you know, those fans are, you know, so rabid with it, and it's really the only thing that they have. But, you know, they're almost angry with their team. But I think the Blues fans are so knowledgeable, and they've learned the game over the last 50 years. And they know the difference between a good effort and, you know, and a bad one. And that's what makes St. Louis so great, is when you're playing your heart out, you know, the Blues are Blues fans are right there, and they know it, they appreciate it, and so I think that goes a long way with the passion of the fans and how much that you know, drives the players to play for the city.
And you knew that because you played here for so long and lived here for so long. But I do feel like what took place over those few days with the Winter Classic brought that attention for how great of a hockey city St. Louis is to many of the network analysts, those who were in town for it, and many people in North America, to see what took place. Like, oh, this thing's really going on here in St. Louis with the Blues.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure the league was probably hesitant because they didn't realize, you know, how well received an outdoor game would be. And I wouldn't be surprised if St. Louis gets another one in the near future, just with the success. And you know, like you said, I think the whole, you know, national media and fan base really, you know, kind of realized that, you know, St. Louis, you know, is a hockey hotbed. And to go along with those five picks in the first round last year from St. Louis, yeah. I think it really shows how much hockey's grown in you know, in the 50 years being here, and even you know, last you know, 20 years, you know, letting you know, I think a lot of it had to do with Brett Hall and what he did in this city, and then you know, with the alumni that stuck around and poured so much into the youth hockey around here and grew the game.
You know, I was talking about this with Cam on his show, and we've talked about it with Chase, and I don't know if I've ever asked about this for you, and now you would fall into this category, albeit as recently retired as it gets with the alumni, but why do you think it is that so many guys who played for the Blues wind up living here? We've seen it to a small extent, and I mean much lesser extent, with the Cardinals, and that's fine. You know, make hundreds of millions of dollars. You want to go live somewhere warm, God bless. And the Rams really didn't do that, and that's not a Rams joke. It's just it really wasn't going on. But with the Blues, man, it seems like, about 25 to 33% of guys who played here wind up living here. Why do you think that is? Why have you chosen to do it?
I think it's the women we end up marrying, and they won't let us leave. But.
Oh, wow. There it is.
That's
it.
Romantic.
As concise as it gets. Here is the reason for success in hockey.
Yep,
the women.
You wanted the truth? There it was.
Yep.
No, I think it's just the people around St. Louis are so nice. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a CEO of a company or you're a, you know, a professional athlete or you're you know, a school teacher. I think everybody cares about, you know, all those people equally, and they're not going to treat you any special because of, you know, your title or what you've done. It's all about what kind of a person you are, and I think those are family beliefs that I have and you know, most people have, that you want to, you know, raise your kids around this. And it is a great place to live. I think you have everything that you want within St. Louis or a short drive away. And, you know, for me, there was no other thought of, you know, even, you know, living in Nashville or moving back home for me. It was, and I think after my first couple of years, I saw myself, you know, raising a family here in St. Louis, and that's why we're back.
Barrett Jackman giving us his perspective on the Blues, the Winter Classic, and the alumni, but also, most importantly, what the Blues are doing with Heritage Night and Evening with Bobby Plager, patios on Wednesday,
February 1st. That's a featuring a roundtable discussion with Kerber and Red Berenson. Tickets $25 going on sale Thursday at noon. StLouisBlues.com/Bobby. Next night, the Blues retire Plagers 5 when they host the Leafs. Doors to Scott Trade Center open at 5:30 on that Thursday, February 2nd. Barrett, great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for dropping by the show.
See you at the next Rick Springfield concert, buddy.
I can't wait.
Yeah, put that off. Barrett Jackman with us on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
Boy, he's a good guy, regular guy. I mean, that when people say the thing about NHL players, they're more approachable. I think there's something to that. I just remember walking into Wrigley for a Cardinals game, and there amongst the fans was Barrett Jackman wearing a Cardinal cap, just a regular guy. Yeah. No one paid him any attention. Just
I suspect as hockey players, even guys who played for a long time, they can lead a somewhat normal life in St. Louis and get recognized just enough so they feel appreciated and special, but not so much that they can't live normally. Like some of the Cardinal players, they can't just go to the mall or anything. They just got people all over them. But a lot of the hockey players aren't as recognizable. Their faces aren't. That might have something to do with it.
Maybe I'm wrong for even pointing this out, but I remember something that Kelly Chase said about NHL players and why they seem so down to earth. He said the guys that, you know, make it to the next level and make it in the NHL that come from these small towns, that meant that they had to drive for hours on, you know, almost a daily basis with their parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said that he thinks that impacts them for the better.
Yeah. And they didn't, most of them didn't go to some high profile college and be and treated like prima donnas, football, basketball players in particular. Haven't had to ever, you know, fend for themselves.
And a lot of times, too, with these, you know, the kids who they identify as real quality players, they go out to some elite team, and they sometimes have to live with families.
Yeah. I think the St. Louis guys still do that. 5 first-rounders last year, and I think most, if not all, in their high school years had to go somewhere else. Maybe that will change someday.
A lot to be said for sports talk radio guys and NHL players just in terms of the grit and the playing through pain that it takes to get to this level.
Most of us came from small Canadian farm towns.
That's correct.
And we plied our trade out on the prairie while we were, you know, driving a tractor and slopping the hogs. Mm. And we learned our craft that way. And we came down here to a bigger market and really enjoy fabulous riches. And we don't really want to go back to the Arctic Circle.
And we remember, though, you have a couple times you had a cracked vertebrae, and they said you
talked
needed to
right
get
it. Yep. Yep. Talked right through it.
They just taped you up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm not sitting this one out. No, sir. Not during ratings.
Not during the Think of Laura General Hospital discussion. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
There might be other days where you could let someone else come in and take your place, but not if we're going to discuss these type of topics. They're just too important to the community.
A lot of people come up to me and say, hey, man, your skin's so soft. Let me touch you. And I want to thank Harry's Razors for making that possible. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. It's Harry's razors, the game changer, the quality of the razors. You are going to get a different quality of shave if you've been using the old guys. That's what I was doing. Now it is a different world. 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering, shave gel, travel blade cover. It's all from Harry's, and they're so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer, fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now and enter promo code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, promo code INSIDESTL.com, HARRYS.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Seth Wickersham is going to be with us coming up in about, Doug, I got it, at 7 minutes.
Oh,
okay. With his article on the title of it, Chargers Desperation Moves, a Shot to the NFL's Vitality. Mm. So we'll discuss that with him. Plus, he wrote the real story of the move from St. Louis to L.A., and we'll get into that with him
coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, along those lines, I have a Jesse Jane audio postcard for you.
Oh, boy.
She was with us yesterday.
Along what lines?
That's it's a segue line.
Yeah, but you said it was along those lines, like it had something to do with this gentleman writing about the football scene in California.
Where do they shoot stag, bro?
Doug's basement?
No.
I don't know.
No, not there.
And she's a football fan.
Yep, thank you, Iggy. Here's a little audio postcard. The Hall of Famer, Jesse Jane. Jesse, good morning.
Hi. Oh.
So are you up for any awards this year, sister?
I'm up for a lot of awards, and I know this sounds bad. I don't know what they are. Like, some of the girls that win this stuff, I've never even heard of. I'm like, yeah, most of the people that I know that don't know who you are neither. So, like, I don't know. Because WTF people, like, whoa. That you're trying to, like, okay, security, please make sure you're walking me back. I remember who it is. Super, super sweet. You never know.
Good morning. It's nice to hear your voice.
It's okay. I'm still going to go to the Super Bowl.
Cool. Awesome.
These two kids have something.
Yeah.
I am a St. Louis fan. I have fun every time I go to St. Louis. He was trying to take a picture with me, and then he fell over and knocked down my whole background.
Oh, no.
They're a cute couple.
Yeah.
She came out in her Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit. Is that correct, Miss Jessie?
I still have it. It still fits cute.
How much did you win on Green Bay, Biff? Maybe that'll help.
Right about $3,000.
There you go.
Wow, look at you.
It's another lap dance.
Well done, Iggy.
If I come back to St. Louis, Biff, I'll have lunch with you.
We have Joe Roderick going, though, so.
People out there that haven't bought the DVD, I would recommend Jesse's new DVD called Sex Machine. It's really good.
Doug, have you seen Sex Machine?
I missed that one.
Because I'm a good sex machine. Yep. Her name is Alexis, and it's not really Texas, it's Texas.
Oh.
I totally twist her out. Talk about a different kind of tailgating. Hey.
Okay. Okay.
And my emojis are about to come out. I'm going to own that. It's mine. Don't you know I'm a mogul, baby? I'm a brand.
Teeth whitener, too, right? Jesse, you got teeth whitener coming up?
Uh-huh. My sexy smile kid.
Pip is a thorough lemming for this woman.
I'm a mogul. You know I have to tap into a little bit of everything. And I just don't understand why hot girls can't get along with other hot girls. Like, all my girlfriends are hot. I love hot girls. Yeah, babe, get it. Well, they call her Keisha Gray. This will be my very last AVN.
So when you say it's your last AVN Awards, does that also mean that you're retiring from performing?
Yes.
Wow.
I love porn.
When is the retirement date? Have you set a particular date, gal?
Well, I'm gonna announce it here at AVN this week.
Oh. Embracing a man who certainly is very fond of you.
You never know.
Biff, I take that as encouraging.
Sorry.
Hi, Ryan.
Go ahead, Biff.
Tim, if you tell Jesse a little bit about the DB's girls, maybe you could get her back for the boxing match.
Well, again, I already asked her, and she said she's in Hawaii.
No.
So I think
you could still talk about the DB's girls because that's a pretty hot lineup.
Seems like Biff's attention has turned elsewhere. He saw the writing on the wall.
As much as I love girls, guess what? I'll find me some girls in Hawaii.
Yeah, I have a feeling you'll do just fine in Hawaii.
Patriots. No, they're going
to
win it.
Nice to hear your voice again, Miss Jane.
You too, Biffy.
There it is. Thank you, Jesse. Safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jesse. Jesse and Biff, and there's a whole thing going on there, Doug.
Yeah. She's closing her legs and calling it a career. There's a little Spitfire, that gal. That noise you hear is Walter Cronkite spinning in his grave like a lathe.
Her laugh is tremendous.
Mm. Yeah. Journalism school I went to.
I screwed up, but we went a little longer with Barrett Jackman, and then I wanted to make sure we got the audio postcard in with Jesse Jane, but Doug Waite now, the interim coach of the Islanders.
Oh, well, he'll get that group turned around. He'll work some line changes, and I suspect he'd even look at changing some line combinations.
What?
Yeah, that's the kind of coach that he is.
What's he going to instill in the boys?
He'll try to work on some chemistry as much as anything. He'll try to improve the chemistry and see if any leaders emerge.
You think he'll address the dynamic in the room?
I expect that he might look each player eye to eye and say, you play for the name of, on the front of the sweater, not for the name on the back. And it's that sort of leadership that should help the chemistry and the dynamics.
You are great.
Yep. We talked about
Doug,
it.
Doug, you are great.
Check it off. We talked about it. Seth Wickersham of ESPN. Now, you might not necessarily know the name. I have a feeling you will be intrigued by the interview. He joins us in a matter of moments here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.